Okay, so the terrible flooding over the weekend on Friday night, specifically, obviously, that's what we're talking about, at Washington Boulevard, is it just simply an act of God that nobody could prevent, or is someone to blame? Let's talk about it right now. Get a new piece of information, input from an expert, Executive Director of Three Rivers Wet Weather, John Schombert. John, welcome to KDKA.
Thank you very much.
John, your organization, just give us a nutshell. What do they do?
Basically, we're helping the 83 municipalities that are part of the Alcosan system coordinate their long-term wet weather planning, controlling storm water and sewage overflows into the rivers and streams. It's a long-term project, obviously, and millions or billions of dollars in cost over the long term.
Okay, so Friday night we've got a woman and her two children and an elderly woman who was swept away, apparently died of blunt force trauma, and then her body is then swept out into the river as a result of flooding at Washington Boulevard. And my colleague Marty was talking about articles that were sent to him about flooding incidents at Washington Boulevard going back into the 50s and maybe even before that. So we've heard all this before. It's not like this happens every time it rains, but it does happen repeatedly. Is it somebody, or should we be pointing fingers of blame, or is this just one of those things that we just can't prevent?
Well, from a rainfall perspective, we do operate a very sophisticated radar rainfall system that calibrates all those nice colors you see that you guys on the TV side. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's red, it's raining hard. But to provide real value to that, we have a system of rain gauges around the county and a very sophisticated software program that actually provides real value to that. And we did an analysis of the rainfall today for the events on Friday. And the particularly in the lower portion of the Washington Boulevard area where the flooding actually occurred, there was over 3.5 inches of rain in a little over an hour. And that's an enormous amount of rainfall. That's upwards of what would be called statistically as a 100-year type return event that you wouldn't expect to see that in any area more often than 100 years. So there was an awful lot of volume of water to deal with, combined with the fact that that lower portion, when you look at the topography of the area, it's actually a basin. When you come down Washington Boulevard and you come up to the intersection with Allegheny River Boulevard, that's a little bit of an uphill. So it creates a basin or almost like a dam. And for whatever reason, the water couldn't get into the system, you know, block sores or just hydraulically overloaded because there was just way too much rain. The water that couldn't get into the sewers or was even coming out of the sewers got collected into that basin area, and that's where the major flooding occurred.
And the water that's coming out of the sewers is what forced the 60-pound manhole covers to blow up, and then you get geysers spouting there. Can you explain how that happens?
Well,
in general, not specifically necessarily to this.
Yeah, I mean, sewers aren't perfectly tight, but they are, you know, pretty tight systems. And when you have to remember that this system goes all the way up into East Liberty, part over to Leamington Larimer area, almost into Oakland. So, you know, you're going uphill. So all that pressure from the water upstream, when it gets filled, can cause an awful lot of pressure, even that far down, that causes the manholes to lift off. So it's really our topography that causes that sort of thing.
Okay, so excuse me. So it's all the water being collected from those other communities going down that one line.
Yeah, that one. It's a watershed. But that's the way we build our sewers is to follow the watershed so that everything flows by gravity. Like there used to be a stream in that basin at the bottom of that valley. That stream is now in a pipe. So in addition to carrying the sewage from the communities, it's carrying the flows. This is a combined sewer system with stormwater and sewage in it, both. And most of the city of Pittsburgh is combined, and that's an enormous amount of water. It has to be designed to manage. These are very big pipes, by the way.
Are they designed big enough?
Well, people have to do a little more analysis to answer that question. Were they designed big enough, or were they? I mean, there are 100 and the bottom end of the pipe is 132 inches in diameter. That sounds pretty big, but you know, you're talking about huge volumes of water in a very short period of time. And then go back and look at the maintenance of the system, and it's add all those things up to decide what really causes the problem.
I want to play something for you. This is audio from Mike Huss. Of Mike Huss, Pittsburgh Public Safety Director, this morning on the Morning News with Larry and John, okay?
Okay.
And I want you to hear what he has to say and tell me what you think of the validity of it. We're talking with John Schombert. He is Executive Director of Three Rivers Wet Weather.
gentlemen, I can tell you this. After the rain stopped on Friday, I mean, I was there when the flooding was occurring. After that rain stopped, those drains took that water relatively quickly. And I know afterwards there was employees of Alcosan and everything that walked those pipes from that collection area there to the left of Washington Boulevard all the way to the river. But that's what I do know. They did walk those pipes after the flooding on Friday, and they were relatively open. And I can tell you that water went down once that rain stopped. I just want to urge everybody that, you know, nothing has changed out there. The road is safe for travel today, but given another heavy rain, that situation may happen again where that roadway is flooded and people need to just not drive through standing water.
Okay, so again, that was Mike Huss, Pittsburgh Public Safety Director, this morning on the Morning News with Larry and John. So John Schombert, Three Rivers Wet Weather, what do you think of that?
Well, I think that does show that the lines had some carrying capacity. And we, as I mentioned, we're dealing with a storm event that is above a 100-year frequency. This is, it's just tough to design for that kind of a storm. That's a good sign that his observations were that it drained very quickly. But there's still, when you look at the rainfall pattern that we've the statistics that we've developed and the mapping that shows how the rain fell, that bottom area, that where he's talking about at the base of Washington Boulevard before you hit Allegheny River Boulevard, got an enormous amount of rain. I mean, right in that spot, not mm-hmm. just what occurred upstream, which was a lot as well. Mm-hmm. We saw almost 3 inches on the rain gauge at the University of Pittsburgh. That just shows you that we were dealing with a really an enormous amount of water.
Okay, go back again at the very beginning of our discussion. Just a few minutes ago, you said that you had done an analysis, your organization did, this morning.
Yes.
Of the rainfall. And what did you find again?
Well, we found that over 3 inches of rain fell in just a little bit more than an hour, which is a huge intensity of rainfall. That kind of rainfall exceeds a 100-year return, kind of a storm you wouldn't expect to see but once in a century, statistically see that kind of a storm mm-hmm. in a one-hour event.
So
a huge amount of water.
But bottom line, that's an act of God. Has there been improvements over the years to the stormwater system in that area?
I'm not familiar with the system. Most of these systems were built many, many, many years ago. I don't know what maintenance and capital improvements Pittsburgh Water and Sewer Authority may have made.
Okay, as far as you know, this has been in place. It could have been back in the 50s.
Yes, and some of it may have been even before that.
Even before that, okay.
Yeah, I mean, Alcosan was only built in 1959, and before that, all these sewers throughout the city and all the towns basically stopped at the river and dumped the raw sewage in the river. So Alcosan owns only that portion of the system which, collects, intercepts where the old municipal systems used to discharge into the rivers.
All right, I want to ask you to hang on for just a few minutes. I've got some more questions, and I want to specifically talk to you about what comments that you had made about some of the upstream drains possibly being clogged. John Schombert is executive director of Three Rivers Wet Weather on KDKA. All right, we're talking about the tragedy on Friday of the storm water backup from Friday's massive thunderstorms on Washington Boulevard. A woman and her two children died in that, and an elderly woman was swept away. So four dead as a result of that. And this is not, of course, the first flood that has happened at Washington Boulevard. On the line with us from the Three Rivers Wet Weather.org. Three Rivers Wet Weather is committed to improving the quality of the water resources by helping communities address the issue of sewage and stormwater, that an often untreated sewage that somehow gets into the waterways as a result of storms like this one. John Schombert is the executive director. John, you had made you were quoted in one of the papers as saying that you thought there was a problem as well with drains, storm drains, upstream from Washington Boulevard. Can you explain?
Well, actually, I was asked by the reporter if there were clogged storm drains upstream as a result of maintenance or construction, would that have aggravated this problem? And obviously, if water can't get into the catch basins, that would aggravate the problem. But I had no knowledge whether, you know, what the conditions were for those at all.
Oh, so that was a purely speculative question.
Correct, yes.
Okay, so do we know at this point whether any of those drains were blocked? Were partially blocked?
I don't know. I think the Pittsburgh Water and Sewer Authority or Pittsburgh Public Works have been looking at that. It's going to be a little bit of the chicken and the egg. Were they filled because of the storm water and the debris that comes with storm water, or were they filled before the storm occurred?
Yeah, the Post Gazette's got a picture of a, I guess it looks almost like a manhole.
Yeah.
That's filled with rocks and debris, but that could easily have been there prior, or it could have been thereafter, more likely after the flood.
Yeah, I mean, it's obvious that this kind of rainfall and this kind of erosion, I mean, there's some hillside, I saw a picture where the hillside had come down, mm-hmm. dirt and debris, and, you know, that's going to cause this kind of problem. So these manholes often need cleaned and repaired after an event like this.
Okay, so given what you do know about what happened Friday, would your organization or would you individually recommend that anything be done, anything changed?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, there's a lot of big sewers down there. There are several very large diameter sewers, and you know, someone has to determine the capacity of those sewers and make some judgment as to the amount of acre feet of water that fell and got collected in that basement, and whether, you know, are there enough inlets? So this is going to take some hydraulic analysis to make some decisions on that. We wouldn't normally do that for communities, but obviously we have a fair amount of rainfall data, and we have, you know, some sewer mapping information that we would gladly help anybody with that to get through that kind of analysis.
I'm sorry. Go ahead and complete your thought.
Well, and the other side is, you know, and I think this is something they would look at, is that the bottom part of that watershed is really a basin. In other words, the water comes down and hits the ramp that takes you back up a little lip to, I think they said 14 feet or so, up to the Allegheny River Boulevard. And so if your water isn't getting in and you run into a condition like this of the high intensity that we had over the bottom part of that watershed, and we had a storm in the morning, too, that I understand that could have aggravated the issue as well. So mm-hmm. I guess you can call these sometimes the perfect storm.
Well, yeah. Yeah, exactly. And, okay, what about a warning system? Would they, like they have in some communities where they know an area that is prone to flash flooding in heavy downpours, so they have a system where you can block the road temporarily while the waters recede.
Well, yeah, that's obviously worth looking into. We've looked at some with the National Weather Service and the U.S. Geologic Service over in Pine Creek. The problem is with these flat, what we call flashy, meaning the water can come in these kinds of storms and flash up volumes very quickly, is the response time is just minutes, if nothing mm-hmm. else. And it may be inadequate. You know, we're running in, even in a larger watershed like Pine Creek, where maybe we can get a half hour or an hour. Now, that might save lives. So it's absolutely worth investigating. And our rain gauge network is real time, and it can feed that kind of an alarm system.
Okay, but I got to take a break here shortly, and I don't know how much more time you have, but I wanted to get to this. You know, it sounds to me, from what you've been saying, is that this is a maybe not a once-in-a-lifetime event, but it's an unusual event. Yes, there's been flooding there before, and supposedly somebody in the 50s drowned in that area. I don't know what the circumstances of that were. I heard Marty talking about that. But it sounds to me like you believe that this is more of an act of God and not an inadequate system. Or am I incorrect in that assessment?
Well, you're correct, except the only caveat I'll say is that we have to, you know, because of the affordability of solutions, we often pick a number that we design to. We'll design to a 10-year storm or 20-year storm. A 100-year storm, in this case, could be extremely expensive and not practical. Well, so, that, you know, it's a judgment call as to what kind of a risk people are willing to take.
John, I need to ask a favor. John Schubert of ThreeRiversWetWeather.org, by the way, you can look at their website, Three Rivers. It's the number 3 Rivers wetweather.org, all one word. John Schombert is executive director. Could you please hold on for our producer for a moment? Would you
sure
please? Thanks, John. All right, we're talking about the tragedy, the flooding, flash flood tragedy on Friday. And, you know, I don't know that there are answers. I really don't. But we're trying as best we can to get some. John Schombert is with us, executive director of Three Rivers Wet Weather. And you can check out their website, threeriverswetweather.org, on the internet. John is sticking with us, and we'll take your calls if you've got questions. John, once again, just briefly explain what your organization does.
We're a nonprofit corporation and really reformed about a little over 11 years ago to help the 83 Alcosan, well, actually all of Allegheny County, but obviously the pressures on the Alcosan communities, to coordinate their response to the orders to repair our sewer systems and control wet weather overflows and stormwater, basically, and help improve water quality.
Okay, and part of that was because a lot of, you know, the older houses had rain drains or downspouts and so forth that were connected right to the sanitary sewer.
Correct, right.
Yeah,
yep.
And that had to change.
Yeah, and most of the city is, about 90% of the city is a combined system where you have stormwater and sanitary and sewage flow in the same pipe. Most of the old river towns are that configuration.
And was that the situation at Washington Boulevard as well?
Yeah, that's a combined system as well.
Okay, so that contributed then to it as
Absolutely.
Well?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay. And you were saying a few minutes ago, before we took the break, about designing a system, and you design it to certain standards. So normally, when you design a system to handle water in a basin such as that, such as Washington Boulevard, to what standard is it designed?
Well, there's not because these are so old, there probably was not a lot of thought put into, except handling the water that occurred at the time. But we have to remember, over the last 50 years, what have we paved? And this is just not Washington Boulevard. What have we paved? What hard surfaces have we created that the water no longer is absorbed in the ground? What hillsides and valleys have we taken the trees off? A tree is an example on an annual basis. A full-size maple is worth 50,000 gallons of water. It takes that amount of water out of the soil, rainwater, so that you don't get it as runoff. You get it absorbed into the plants. So it really is a matter of us thinking a little differently on how we're going to approach this in the future. We've already built, you know, Oakland's all built out, East Liberty's all built out pretty much, and we're going to have this amount of runoff. So what do we have to design for the future? And can we use a lot of the new innovations like green infrastructure, which is, you know, the trees, rain gardens, bioswales, these kinds of things that use the natural systems, again, to get that water back in the ground.
What is a bioswale? I don't know what that is.
Well, a bioswale is basically where you contour the land so the water collects in certain areas, and the soil has been enhanced so it absorbs right, it goes down pretty quickly. Instead of letting it flow across the land and get onto the streets and into the storm source.
Well, I think you make a very good point about how the topography of that area, in fact, the entire area, has changed over the years.
Yeah.
And especially if you look back, you know, somebody sent my colleague, he was going to pass these on, but he never did. I don't know how, I guess he forgot, these articles from the Post-Gazette from back in the 50s. Where they reported, you know, the flooding problems at Mount Washington. So if they were having it, or Mount Washington, I mean Washington Boulevard. So if they were having that problem back then, it's compounded now, from what you're saying. And I think that's pretty obvious because you've got more paved roads, you've got more development, et cetera. So
absolutely.
But going forward, once again, going back to design the design of the system, you said, do you design for a 12-year event or a 100-year event, and the cost of designing for a 100-year event, in other words, something that happens only about once every 100 years, and this event certainly qualified for that from what you said.
Correct.
Okay. So to design for that would be prohibitively expensive.
It could be. I mean, we haven't done the analysis. Nobody's done that yet. But I would imagine in any built-up area, retrofitting the drainage infrastructure is very, very expensive.
So then, really, it seems to me that the major thrust, at least for now, until they really do have some hard answers. But I got a feeling you're right. It's going to be extremely expensive, and nobody's going to want to pay for it because it's going to cost more tax dollars, and people aren't just going to. They're just not going to want to pay for it. And the only answer then is okay, so how do we prevent people from going into that area when the potential for a flash flood like we had Friday is pre-exists?
Well, correct. And the warning systems, I think, are probably not quick enough. That this flash occurred in a matter of minutes, and I'm not sure, you know, how you get that message out, you know, to vehicles and so on. It's absolutely worth looking at. When we have the kind of information systems we have now, we should be able to look at how to make those judgments as fast as possible. But it may not be fail-safe for everything.
All right. Harry in Point Breeze has a question. Harry, sure. Go ahead. You're on KDKA with John Schombert of Three Rivers Wet Weather.
Yes, just to follow up on how to get this message out. Okay, I'm over here at the 911 center location. And Zone 5's on Washington Boulevard, and you have no weather and TV and all these different things, the Weather Channel and so forth, and you see things like this happening. My solution may be simplistic, but why couldn't some officers go down there and block the road off at the beginning of all this nightmare?
Well, okay, that's a fair question. You want to tackle that one, John?
Well, I think he's absolutely right. I mean, that's an obvious way of handling it as quickly as officers can respond and block the road. That may not be fast enough in a situation like this. This apparently, when you look at the rainfall data, it occurred so fast. Even the first 15 minutes, there were sometimes we had an inch of rain, some portions of that storm where there was an inch of rain in less than 15 minutes. And that takes a pretty good response to be able to capture that.
Let's go from the other direction then. In the past, to your knowledge, how much rainfall had to fall before they actually had a flash flood situation in that stretch of Washington Boulevard?
We've never looked at that before, the analysis of that.
Well, maybe this is not a criticism, but I'm saying maybe somebody ought to look at that and say, okay, so if we get this amount of rainfall, nothing happens. But if we get, you know, this amount of rainfall, then we get the flash flooding. This is so right there in that danger zone there, as you rise above, say, 1 inch of water in an hour doesn't do anything, but 2 inches an hour does absolutely. And if you get over 3 inches, as we did in this case, now you're looking at catastrophe. So the danger zone is then that 1 inch per hour prediction.
And that probably is a good idea to be conservative like that and say, you know, we're getting X amount of rain and therefore we know we're going to be approaching our capacity and be preventative and not responsive.
Right. And so the worst that happens is you close the road off and force people to drive around somewhere else. But you don't have to close the road every time it rains.
No.
Only when. So it seems to me that somebody in authority ought to. That would make more sense to me, frankly, than to go, you know, off half cocked. Like I heard a whole bunch of people doing this morning, saying, you know, the government should do something, a politician should do something. Well, what exactly? Let's first of all determine what needs to be done, and then what can be done. Bill in Homewood has a question. Bill, you're on KDKA. Hi.
Well, I know it's the federal government. They break all them water pipes down there in Pittsburgh, and they got to replace them. I'd have said the bill to the federal government. That's what I do.
How did the federal government break the pipes?
They use a type of energy that they...
Oh, for crying out loud. You know what? I apologize for
That's okay. We're all used to that.
For that nitwit. He calls under different names. Obviously, he fooled our producer. As soon as I recognized his voice, I knew what was coming. John in Pleasant Hills. You're on KDKA. Hi.
Hey, Mike. It's John from Pleasant Hills. Why do they have these traffic cameras everywhere? Love your show, by the way.
Thank you.
But why couldn't we have a traffic camera near there somewhere, just looking up and down the boulevard?
That would make sense too. I mean, that's once again, it's another easier fix than digging up the whole area for maybe not a whole lot of gain. What about that? Would that work, do you think, John?
Well, that is absolutely real time, and that sure is a great way, particularly for the emergency responders to monitor a situation like that. I mean, we knew that there were storms in the area during the day. There were warnings out, so that would perhaps trigger them to be a little more pay a little more attention to their critical areas where the traffic camera would be terrific.
Yeah, and there are electronic signs that I would think that you could put up, at minimal cost. I mean, they're not going to be cheap, but it's a minimal cost versus digging up the entire basin there and trying to rework the whole system. And in the midst of doing that, you know, what else might happen? And who's going to pay for it? And how much is it going to cost? Those are all questions. It's easy to sit here and say, oh, the politicians have been doing nothing and they're dragging their feet or they're spending money on other things, which they are, and they should be doing this. But wait a minute. This doesn't happen every day. And this was an extremely catastrophic event, as you pointed out, after you've done the analysis. And I think for people just joining us, I think they should hear this again. You guys got together and you did the analysis of exactly how much rain actually fell in that area that went into the Washington Boulevard. Tell me again what that figure was.
It was over 3 inches, almost 3.5 inches of rain fell in a little over an hour.
That's a tremendous amount of rain. If 3 inches of rain is an inch of rain is how much snow?
Oh, there's usually a factor of 4 to 6 put on that.
Okay, so an inch of rain is 4 to 6 inches of snow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so imagine, so now you've got what, maybe up to 18 inches of snow in less than an hour.
Correct.
Or maybe a little over an hour. I mean, that's a lot of snow.
Right.
So if, when you think of it that way, it was that kind of a storm. You know, what are you supposed to do? How do you plan for that? So I think it's very easy to point fingers, and I'm certainly willing to point fingers when necessary and when appropriate. I just don't think it's appropriate in this case. I do believe that somebody should have realized after we had the first couple of these incidents in recent memory, where you do now have the technology to look at things real time and to respond quickly. Somebody should have done something about that. I would think. Would you agree with me on that?
Yeah, I don't know what information they had, but it, you know, we've had a couple of incidents here earlier in July, as an example.
And a couple of years ago too, apparently. Now, I'm not talking about the 50s. I'm talking about just in the 21st century here. We've had some incidents there.
If I can add, in our topography, we see this. You know, whether it be Pit Cairn a few years ago or Pine Creek back in the late 80s. These are occurrences that happen here in our topography, and it's. And I think you're hitting on it exactly right. We don't necessarily have to manage every 100 or Ivan, as an example, was a 500-year storm event.
Yeah.
We don't have. We can't do that. But if we have the things in place to give the right kind of warnings and cause an inconvenience with redirecting people around problems like this, we could do that in a lot of our watersheds.
Absolutely. All right, I needed to take a time out. John Schombert is with us. He is executive director of Three Rivers Wet Weather. And if you're just joining us and you're saying, well, what is that organization? I'll have John explain it again in a few moments. We will continue. We'll take some calls. He's agreed to answer questions. If he can help you, 866-391-1020. We're talking about the flash flooding that occurred on Friday night. And took the lives of 4 people, particularly a woman and her 2 children, particularly tragic. Not that the elderly woman's death was not. Of course it was. But when you think about the fact that this mother and her 2 children were in the minivan and the thing is just submerged in water and the rescuers didn't even know that they were down there, that really is quite frightening and quite tragic. 12:45, we will continue. 866-391-1020 on KDKA. Okay, I just got an email here from the same lady who sent, and I know who this is, it's Olga. She sent the articles to Marty earlier and sent them now to me, the links. Unfortunately, I can't print these out. It's very difficult to read these things. But there is one from 1951, and I wanted that I was just reading a moment ago about Washington Boulevard. John Schombert is with us, executive director for Three Rivers Wet Weather. Thank you so much for staying with us, John. Once again, for people who are just joining us, what does your organization do?
We're a nonprofit corporation, basically coordinating the response of the 83 municipalities and the rest of Allegheny County to their municipal consent orders, along with Alcosan, to create a wet weather plan to help solve some of the sewage overflow and stormwater problems that we have in this region.
Okay. According to this article, this is from 1951 Post-Gazette, true to its form of the past 4 years, the city of Pittsburgh yesterday prepared to open its 1954 Let's Do Something About Washington Boulevard session. As a result of Monday's flash flood of the oft-flooded boulevard, and with just a bit of prompting from the Post-Gazette, the mayor's office promised to immediately call for preventive legislation. And it says the proposal and introduction of corrective measures is an annual event at City Hall. Started in the summer of 1951 after a woman motorist had been trapped in her car and had tragically drowned in a boulevard flood. And it says It's August 24th, 1951. Public Works Department presented council with a detailed report which estimated the total cost at $785,000. That's back in 1951. That's a lot of money.
That was real money back then.
Yeah, for elevation of the boulevard and installation of a 48-inch sewer extending about 1,500 feet from the Allegheny River. Can you make sense of that?
Well, I know there's a 48-inch sewer there right now that is used to transfer the flow out to, you know, to the now connects to the Alcosan system. Now, if that's the same one that they were referring to, I don't know.
Well, then, so...
But that's before Alcosan was built.
So yeah, and it's not clear from this that what they were proposing to do back in those days was actually... It may actually have been done at some point for all. I'll have to continue to look at these articles here, and we're going to continue talking about this in the next hour anyway. Let me take another call, another question for you, John.
Okay.
This is Denise on the north side. Go ahead, Denise. You're on KDKA.
Hi. I like the idea with the electronic signs that you brought up, but I think people in this area aren't well educated in what to do in a flash flood situation because we don't have them very often. And well, another thought I had was... why not build a couple safety islands down there where the water did go up to 9 feet, that there's some place that people can exit their cars and go to some place of safety that's
well,
elevated?
Well, that's if they can exit their cars. This woman and her two children, that's the terrible part of this. The really frightening. I'm just imagining being in that car, in that minivan, and apparently they couldn't get out. So
yeah,
that's assuming you can get out.
Yeah.
So because once... I think when the water comes up, and I don't know the hydraulics of this, but when the water comes up, first of all, the windows are operated electrically, so they probably short out. So now you're done with that. They're not mechanical anymore like they used to be, and nobody wants mechanical anyway, except in a case like that when you need to get out. The other problem is that the pressures apparently prevent the windows from opening, and the doors from opening, I should say. Is that correct to your knowledge, John?
Yeah, and I did hear some testimony from one of the people that got out of the flood that's exactly the problem that she had. The amount of strength it took her to get her doors open was all she had.
Yeah, and so you know, the only alternative then is to break the windows, because virtually everybody's car now has electric windows, and the electric windows won't work once the thing is submerged.
And interestingly enough, some of the auto suppliers do make a little... metal-ended device that you slam against your window and it shatters it
right.
Just for that case.
And but as I pointed out earlier, you got to be. That's assuming that you can get your hands on that thing,
right?
You know, when you need it, it's a good device. But if you can't grab it, you know, it's like a cell phone. If you can't find the cell phone now, if your car's crashed because it flew somewhere else in the car, what are you going to do? It's of no value. So. There are all kinds of things that could have happened. Hindsight's 2020, the Monday morning quarterbacking. And according to these articles here, apparently this has been an ongoing problem even since the 50s.
And if you look at the topography down there, and we did a little excerpt from the mapping, and there, with the elevation of Allegheny River Boulevard, it's about a 14.5-foot high basin in there that can fill with water,
mm-hmm.
that goes up and covers about 22 acres in that bottom end of the valley there. Those are very steep walls going up if you see it, so it's really, you're caught in a bathtub at that
yeah,
point.
Yeah, really. All right, John, thank you so much for spending extra time with us. We appreciate it.
I hope it was helpful.
It was. Absolutely it was. John Schombert is executive director of 3RiversWetWeather.org. News is next.